And happy soon to be Sabbath for some of you. Happy Sabbath to others. Glad to be here on this 30th of September, last day of September for us here in Australia, 2023. I was just looking at the date when we started our Daniel and Revelation study, and it was July 3, 2019. Here we are, what probably is going to be the last look at Revelation 22. Not for all time, not by any means, but so glad to have your company and looking forward to your participation. Hope you've had a blessed week and look forward to hearing how God has blessed you. I'd like to share a small story before we start. A young boy, one of seven children, met with an accident. Injured, he was taken to hospital. In his home, there was seldom enough of anything. Food was scarce and shared sparingly. He never, ever had more than just a part of a glass of milk. If the glass was full, it was shared by two of the children. Whoever drank first had to be careful not to drink too far down into the glass. After he was made comfortable in hospital, a nurse brought him a glass of milk. He just looked at it longingly for some time, and then he asked the nurse, "How deep can I drink?" With a lump in her throat and tears welling up, she replied, "Drink it all, drink it all." God's amazing grace is a bit like that. He may be able to save others, but how could he save me? I've sinned too many times. What I've done is so horrible. I'm just too bad. And you know, in fact, it's when we feel like that, that's exactly when he wants us to come to him. "The one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never reject one of them who comes to me." To quote John chapter 6, verse 37. Obviously not quite KJV, but I love the stress it brings out. He is also able to say to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Or we could say, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. "He who has the Son has life." 1 John 5:12. "God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. "He did this for those in Christ Jesus, so that for all future time he could show the very great riches of his grace by being kind to us in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 2 verses 6 and 7. I've chosen the most famous hymn. Well, it's said to be the most famous hymn for today. Can anyone guess which one that might be? I'll just put the share up screen. I've got seven verses of it, and I'll just bring it up. I'll just see if anyone answered that question. Put the chat room up. Welcome those coming in. Thank you for that, Brother Joel. There it is. Yeah, there you go. I knew someone would get it. Exactly. Amazing grace. Yes, indeed. Well done, sis. Let's sing it. We've got so many verses. We've got seven verses. We might have everyone singing. Amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, precious gift that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess at the resurrection a life of joy and peace.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, his days to sing God's praise, then when will he first be gone?
Amen. Amen. Oh, what a blessing to hear you all sing. Praise the Lord. Amazing grace indeed. What a well-worded song that is. Not grace alone, but amazing. Powerful. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer before we start our reading? And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free, and thank you.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for Friday night. Maybe it's Thursday over in Australia. But we thank you that we can come here and worship you, meet together, and sing your praises, and bring to you our petitions. Be with us this evening as we worship together. May the message be just right, and may we gain a blessing from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. Amen indeed. Here we are. I didn't know it would take 4 years. I'm blessed. I'm so glad it would. It went as it did. Here we are, last part of Revelation 22. And to review what we've looked at so far, I mean, from last week, we looked at some history of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, looking at the part the Holy Spirit played in speaking on behalf of the Son, the great I Am, and also the Father. We had some rare instances in the Old Testament as well. Looked at that because our verse was talking about the Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Well, we also looked at the fact that in the Bible, it's not just in verse 18 and 19 that the warning comes that if you add to the book, plagues are going to be added to you. And if you take from the book, that you're going to have your part taken out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. We found that in Deuteronomy 4:2, it also says, fourth book of the Bible, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And in the same book, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish or take away from it. And then Proverbs 30, verse 6, kind of like in the middle of the Bible. So you've got the beginning in Deuteronomy, roughly. In Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 6, it says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Let God be true, and every man found false. So, and that's Proverbs 30 verse 6, and then of course Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19 at the very end of the Bible. And, in justice, I think it's marvelous that God can do no other than to give to each everyone's due in harmony with their works. Their own mouth's going to condemn them. Their own heart condemns them. God is good. He is just. He is fair. So, it starts with the adding to in verse 18. We looked at in verse 19, then it was the taking away from. The one who takes away from the words of Revelation is equally guilty with the one who adds to the words. We looked at the fact that the loss of immortality is promised to those who take away from the words of the book and the consequent suffering of eternal death. Number two, loss of any part in the corporate life of the city of the new earth. And number three, loss of all the blessings and promises of the revelation. So that would actually equal a staggering, complete loss presented that nothing in this life can even remotely compensate for. Well, let's travel to verse 20. Who would like to read this verse and passage? And of course, any comments, questions, insights, homework anyone wants to share, please share along.
He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, bro. So we're told the very words of Jesus, surely. Now that's an old English for verily. Verily, verily appears a number of times, especially by Jesus. I mean, in the translation, in English. Very specific, isn't it? Strong affirmation. He's coming quickly. Our master is affirming the surety and imminence of his very second coming. Is this the only time he said it, like in Revelation? I found three times that he says, three other times, I should say, so four in all, north, south, east, west, if you will. I'll put it in the room and we'll have a look at it. So in the same book, Revelation, we're told the following. Would someone like to read it for us? Thank you.
Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Amen indeed. Now the word amen, that is common in the book of Revelation too. You'll find in Revelation 1 verses, actually, if I can find it, I can't find it, don't have it right with me, but the word, we know amen means like of a truth. In agreement with. And, you know, John is the one that's writing Revelation, which we have the privilege of reading now. And it could be, I wonder if John was ever thinking of that night in the upper room more than half a century before when he heard Jesus declare, I will come again. Which is listed in John 14 verse 3. And also of that day a few weeks later on the Mount of Olives when he had heard the angels say, which is recorded in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1 verse 11. So he's in holy vision. John is given one last assurance that his blessed Lord is to return. He's probably in his 90s, and that quickly. This assurance comes from the lips of his master himself, as Brother Dick just read, the faithful and true witness, which Jesus speaks of himself. And you could imagine John's heart would have been thrilled at the words, with eager anticipation, looking forward to the day when in reality, not in vision, alone, he will see his blessed Lord face to face, for himself and not another. Deep indeed. I've got a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's from My Life Today. And I wonder if a brother or sister could read it to us all. Just put it in the room.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Excuse me. We are to live not to elevate ourselves, but that we may, as God's little children, do to the very best of our ability the work that he has committed to us. It is our business to give a right impression to others. We are preparing for eternity, for the sanitarium above, where the great physician shall wipe away the tears from every eye, and where the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nation. Let us all take hold of Christ Jesus by living faith and a walk in humility of mind. Then the grace of God will be revealed in us, and we shall see of his salvation. We shall greet the holy family of the redeemed. We shall touch our golden harps, and heaven will ring with rich music. We shall cast our glittering crowns at his feet and give glory to him who has overcome in our behalf. There may be some things here that we do not understand. Some things in the Bible may appear to us mysterious because they are beyond our finite comprehension. But as our Savior leads us by the living waters, he will make clear to our minds that which was not before clearly understood. As I think of the future glory of heaven, I feel an intense desire that every living soul may know about it. I long to hold him up as the mighty healer. It means much to us, whether we are in pursuit of the heavenly things or of the earthly. The earthly will soon pass away. In these days, there is great destruction of earthly treasures. There are earthquakes in diverse places, and trouble and difficulties are seen on every hand. But it is our privilege to be preparing to become members of the heavenly family, children of the heavenly king. Not sure what ML is, 342 verse 6.
My life today, abbreviation of my life today, used to be MLT, that they've cut it back.
Thank you, Brother Dick.
Amen and amen. Well read. So we see here, here's a thought. The first 11 words recorded of man to God after the fall in answer to the question of God, "Where art thou?" were, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. The last recorded words to God of Adam's descendants in the Bible are, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Between the cry of distress, Adam, and expression of hope, John, descendant of Adam, is the reign of sin and the story of redemption. What a thought. I've got two quotes from the Bible I'd like to share with you on this particular point. Just put it in the room. Given this wonderful promise, two promises from the New Testament and the Old, and there's plenty more where that came from. Would a brother or sister like to read it to us?
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, Romans 8:22-23. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. And here's an interesting quote. It's very brief. It's from Steps to Christ. Let your imagine picture. This is what she wrote. Let your imagination picture the home of the saved. And remember that it will be, forget what imagination, it will be more glorious than your brightest imagination can portray. That's so encouraging. Steps to Christ, page 91. That wonderful classic. Does anyone have any thoughts, any questions, any comments, any insights they'd like to share what we looked at so far before we go to the very last verse of the Bible?
The other day, I saw some jewels. I think it was in a cave in Brazil. Anyway, there were many, many different colors like a rainbow. It was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. You couldn't take your eyes off of it. And I thought, if we have something this beautiful down here on this earth that we can see, just imagine what God has in the holy city and in heaven for us. It was just an amazing thing. It made me think of the foundations of the new city. And it was so sparkly and so pretty.
Wow. I think perhaps you'll agree with me. I think God allows you to still have glimpses of something of the beauties that were once here. I mean, we still see beauties here, hear it and feel and touch, etc., taste, etc. And they're just the inklings. And like Sister Joan just mentioned, I mean, just the link is so strong, and it's only because it's in that it's marred everything, but even then, mercifully, we see it everywhere. This, his mercy's in the beauties that still exist despite what sin has wrought. Amen, sis. That rock sounds gorgeous. I wonder if it's the same one I saw. There we are, brethren and sisters, we're at the end. Would someone like to read the last verse?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Isn't that all encompassing? Paul mentions grace many of the times throughout his epistles and especially at the end. So it's like a benediction, you could say. No doubt deep from the heart of the apostle. And it reaches out to all of us who read the words of his visions, even in 2023. Almost 2,000 years later. What an interesting climax to the canon of scripture. We know the beginning of the Bible starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And here you have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that grace requires the Holy Spirit to provide that for us. We have this fitting climax to the canon of scripture appearing as they do at the end of the collection of sacred books, 66 in all, as we know them. And interesting quote from the Review and Herald, one to put in the room on this particular point. Review and Herald, it's it's three paragraphs, and it's dealing just on this particular point. Just put it in the room. It takes a little while. Thank you for your patience. There we are. Who would like to read that to us all? Thank you.
By disobeying the commands of God, man fell under the condemnation of his law. This fall called for the grace of God to appear in behalf of sinners. We should never have learned the meaning of this word grace had we not fallen. God loves the sinless angels who do his service and are obedient to all his commands, but he does not give them grace. These heavenly beings know not of grace. They have never needed it, for they have never sinned. Grace is an attribute of God shown to undeserving human beings. We did not seek after it, but it was sent in search of us. God rejoices to bestow this grace upon everyone who hungers for it. To everyone, he presents terms of mercy. Not because we are worthy, but because we are so utterly unworthy. Our need is the qualification which gives us the assurance that we shall receive this gift. But God does not use his grace to make his law of none effect or to take the place of his law. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. His law is truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. God gave man a perfect law. An imperfect law would have perpetuated sin, made God the author of sin. Jesus came to condemn sin in the flesh, to bear the curse of sin for us, and he took the law from beneath the feet of those who were trampling upon it and made it honorable. He kept his Father's commandments, and only by being a partaker of the divine nature can man keep them. God's grace and the law of his kingdom are in perfect harmony. They walk hand in hand. His grace makes it possible for us to draw nigh to him by faith. By receiving it and letting it work in our lives, we testify to the validity of the law. We exalt the law and make it honorable by carrying out its living principles through the power of the grace of Christ, and by rendering pure, wholehearted obedience to God's law. We witness before the universe of heaven and before an apostate world that is making void the law of God to the power of redemption. And that was from Review and Herald, September 15, 1896, paragraphs 4 through 7.
Wow. I remember when I first, thank you, bro, for reading that powerfully. I think that that very first paragraph was fascinating about grace and the relation that it holds to us and what relation it doesn't hold to the angels and the unfallen beings. God is good. We're told that in Titus chapter 2, Paul being the author of it. I'll just put it in the room. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, salvation from something must be sin, salvation from sin hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have two quotes to finish off this study. But before I do that, I want to ask, does anyone have anything they want to share on what we've looked at thus far? Well, I thought to finish Revelation, it might be fitting to look at something specific. Did you all know that the first, like the last words of the Conflict of the Ages series, Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, the Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles and the Great Controversy, did you know the first words and the last? Do you know what they are? I always keep putting you on the spot, don't I? Easy for me, I got the answer in front of me. But does anyone have any idea what they might be? You could quickly look. It's a quote from the Bible. It's three words, and it's from 1 John 4:16. And it's interesting. She starts it with those three words and she ends it. And I thought we'll just look at the beginning of that chapter of Patriarchs and Prophets and then the end, which is found, of course, in the Great Controversy. I'll just put it in the room for us. Okay. Okay, there we go. Have you worked out what they are? Well, here is the answer. I'll just put it in the room. Would someone like me to go? Well, maybe yeah, sorry. Thank you, Mother, for the correction. Sisters. The all of 1 John 4:16 says, and thank you for putting it in the room, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen. And then God is love, absolutely, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, sis. Would someone like to read it? This is the start of the Conflict of the Ages, and then we'll look at the ending, which has the same words, of course, at the end.
Go ahead. God is love. 1 John 4:16. His nature, his love, is love. It ever has been, it ever will be. The height and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose ways are everlasting, changes not. With him is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Isaiah 57:15, Habakkuk 3:6, James 1:17, pages 31, paragraph 1. Every manifestation of creative power is an expression of infinite love. The sovereignty of God involves fullness of blessing to all created beings. The psalmist says, strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Righteousness and judgment are the foundation of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name do they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness are they exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, for our shield belongeth unto Jehovah, and our King to the Holy One. The history of the great conflict between good and evil from the time it first began in heaven to the final overthrow of rebellion and the total eradication of sin is also a demonstration of God's unchanging love.
No, it's okay.
The marveling of the universe was not alone in his work of beneficence. He had an associate, a co-worker who could appreciate his purposes and could share his joy in giving happiness to created beings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, John 1:1-2. Christ the Word, the only begotten of God, was one with the eternal Father, one in nature, in character, in purpose, the only being that could enter into all the counsels and wonderful Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, Micah 5:2. And the Son of God declares concerning himself, the Lord possessed me in beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and as was daily his delight, rejoicing always in him. Proverbs 8:22-30. Patriarchs and Prophets 34:1. The Father brought by his Son the creation of all heavenly beings. By him were all things created, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. Angels are God's ministers, radiant with the light ever flowing from his presence and speeding on rapid wing to execute his will. But the Son, the anointed of God, the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory, upholding all things by the word of his power, holds supremacy over them all. Hebrews 1:3, a glorious high throne from the beginning of, place of his sanctuary, Jeremiah 17:12, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of his kingdom, Hebrews 1:8, honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary, Psalms 96:6, mercy and truth go before his face, Psalms 89:14, Patriarchs and Prophets. 32, paragraph 2. The law of love being the foundation of the government of God, the happiness of all intelligent beings depends upon this perfect accord with his great principles of righteousness. God desires of all his creatures a service of love. Service springs from the appreciation of his character. He takes no pleasure or force in a forced obedience. And to all, he grants freedom of will, that they may render his voluntary service. The Johnson Prophets 34, verse 3.
Okay.
I believe you finally stopped it.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Appreciate that. Wow. What a classic that book is. Praise the Lord. So as mentioned, the last, like the first words of the Conflict of the Ages series, is God is love, 1 John 4:16. And let's go to the great controversy to that very point. Before I do that, did anyone have anything they wanted to share on what was just read or what we've looked at so far? Okay, well, who would like to finish with this quote that finishes the Revelation study and with the great controversy doing so?
There is the New Jerusalem, the metropolis of the glorified new earth, a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Isaiah 11:6, 33:24, 62:3, 65:19. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Revelation 21:4, verse 11, verse 24, and verse 3. Saith the Lord, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will delight and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21:4. In the city of God there shall be no night. None will need or desire repose. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God and offering praise to his name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God and the Lamb floods the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:22. The people of God are privileged to hold open communion with the Father and the Son. Now we see through a glass darkly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. We behold the image of God reflected as in a mirror, in the works of nature and in his dealings with men, but then we shall see him face to face without a dimming veil between. We shall stand in his presence and behold the glory of his countenance. There the redeemed shall know, even as also they are known, the loves and sympathies which God himself has planted in the soul shall there find truest and sweetest exercise. The pure communion with holy beings, the harmonious social life with the blessed angels and with the faithful ones of all ages who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the sacred ties that bind together the whole family in heaven and earth, Ephesians 3:15, these help to constitute the happiness of the redeemed. There, immortal minds will contemplate with never failing delight the wonders of creative power, the mysteries of redeeming love. There is no cruel, deceiving foe to tempt to forgetfulness of God. Every faculty will be developed, every capacity increased. The acquirement of knowledge will not weary the mind or exhaust the energies. There the grandest enterprises may be carried forward, the loftiest aspirations reached, the highest ambitions realized, and still there will arise new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects to call forth the powers of mind and soul and body. All the treasures of the universe will be open to the study of God's redeemed. I wonder how vast that is. Unfettered by mortality, they wing their tireless flight to worlds afar, worlds that thrilled with sorrow at the spectacle of human woe and rang with songs of gladness at the tidings of a ransomed soul. With unutterable delight, the children of earth enter into the joy and the wisdom of unfallen beings. They share the treasures of knowledge and understanding gained through ages upon ages in contemplation of God's handiwork. With undimmed vision, they gaze upon the glory of creation, suns and stars and systems, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. Upon all things, from the least to the greatest, the Creator's name is written, and in all are the riches of his power displayed. And the years of eternity as they roll will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men and women learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of his character. As Jesus opens before them the riches of redemption and the amazing achievements in the great controversy with Satan, the hearts of the ransomed thrill with more fervent devotion. And with more rapturous joy, they sweep the harps of gold, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of voices unite to swell the mighty chorus of praise. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who created all, flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things, animate and inanimate, in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy declare that God is love. And that was Great Controversy, the 1888 edition, page 676 through 678.
Sorry about that. I must have cut it off. Have to put that back in. Thank you, bro. Powerfully read. Wow. There you have it. Really sums it up, doesn't it? Wow. How exciting. Reminds me of the steps to Christ. Just imagine the greatest things you can imagine, and it's going to be way better than that. What a wonderful thought. I was reminded of Mount Zion. We know from the Spirit of Prophecy that there's a special temple that the 144,000 are written in stone. I think it's gold letters. And Mount Zion originally was north of Jerusalem. So could it be that that's where it will be in the new earth after the destruction of sin and sinners? At the north? When they come from there? Maybe. Well, that brings us to the end of Revelation. And I just want to say what a privilege it's been. Again, I know I've mentioned this a couple of times in anticipation that perhaps we will probably get to the end. We started Daniel, the book of Daniel, on July 3, 2019. And I'm really glad to have the opportunity to go with it through it with you all. I was so glad about it. I started thinking this week I should start publishing. I realize there's plenty already out there, but I should start publishing maybe in Truth is Truth magazine with images, graphs, diagrams for evangelistic purposes. Although as soon as I thought of that, I thought, well, I should talk to brothers and sisters that actually have done that with people coming to their meetings that would present it in a way that might be different without quoting Spirit of Prophecy as such, because, you know, you're before unbelievers usually, and Christians that don't know what the gift of prophecy is, or the Spirit of Prophecy. But it's just a thought, and I'm thankful. I didn't know we'd get to the end today, but here we are, and I'm really glad to have done it with you all. And thank you for recording it, most of them. Brother, thank you. But I was just looking at it. You put Elder James up. I saw that a couple of months ago. I thought, oh, that's cool. That's nice. Fantastic. So we're at the end. The end has come for our meeting. Oh, in saying that, before anyone goes, oh, someone has gone. I saw 12 before. We're going to have foot washing and communion next week, and it's going to be, I'm going to do it this time, next week. So that's Sabbath morning for us, and depending where you are in the world, it'll be just like now. So, so foot washing and communion, be prepared. And if you know anyone that's not here that might like to come or may come, or has just dropped out all of a sudden, let them know, and we'll make it happen. Looking forward to that. And thank you for it. For the opportunity Brother Bob is providing. As you know, Brother Bob and others are moving, I think it's 8th of October, the big move. And, well, we look for, I'll let her sing it's the end. Do brothers and sisters have anything they'd like to share? Any testimonies, any questions, any insights, any praises, any songs, anything I haven't mentioned? Sure, sis. Thank you. I can repeat that. Yeah. We're having foot washing and communion next week this time. So instead of a reading from, it would be from Prophets and Kings, I understand, it'll be foot washing and communion. Yeah, I'm so glad you came up with the idea to have the Daniel and Revelation reading for me, because I have not done that before presenting it to others, which is really good. Good experience, and certainly lots of notes. Fantastic. And a real privilege. So, yes, so if you're able, sis, and you're able to come, please join us. And looking forward to that. So the floor is everyone else's? Is there? Yeah, so next Friday, your time, yeah. So the same time as we usually meet, but next week. Foot washing and communion.
Yes, it's Sabbath, everybody, and knock my funny bone, as they say, which is not funny at all. Ouch. But I wanted to praise the Lord, because not only do I praise him for bringing us through another week, to be able to see another Sabbath, but also praising him to have brought me through 10 years, 8 months of work. And that by his grace, Friday, the 29th of September, 2023, I am officially retired. Praise the Lord. It has been a journey, especially this last week, and there were some major bumps in the road this month, but truly God's word of prayer and fasting changes the heart and gives true joy and genuine kindness where others are not doing that, and it's hurtful. But by God's grace, He brought me through, and I praise him for that, because it's been a journey. As I said to my place of employment this past week, and what would have been for me my last large department meeting, and they kind of put me on the spot to speak, and I said it was bittersweet, but yet a new journey for me, and I thanked the Lord and wished them all well, which I did genuinely from my heart. And that's cute, youngin. And so there were some who I believe genuinely had well wishes for me, and others that I don't feel were so genuine, but only God knows the heart. But I praise him because I can see how he has moved for my mom and myself. And even one of my brothers came over yesterday evening and, you know, said, you know, happy retirement, what have you, and retirement wishes from, you know, our dear sister Susan. And so I praise the Lord that he has allowed me to do that. I didn't think that I would see that. My sister, may she rest in peace, never even reached that milestone, dying at 46 years old. So for many reasons, I don't want to take up the time, but I did just want to praise the Lord for his goodness. And as the road is unsure to how I will go from this point forward, I praise the Lord that I don't have to worry about quote-unquote clocking in every day, Monday through Friday, praise the Lord. So that is a blessing, to focus mainly on being, by his grace, a caregiver for my mom. And I'm going to try my not green thumb hands at trying the garden, if I can, and other things by his grace. So, you know, thank the Lord for, through the years, how you all have prayed for me and different ups and downs that I've gone through at work. And I praise the Lord for my mom always sticking with me, even though I can be a jerk sometimes, major. So I praise the Lord for others that have stuck with me through the years, especially as I've gone through different ups and downs. But I cannot thank the Lord enough, truly, how he has shown me just really in this week, how he has closed the lion's mouth, literally, and allowed me to make it through to the end of workday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Florida, here in the United States, only by his grace and by his mercy. So, not to take up much more time, but I do say, just praise you, Lord. Praise you for your blessing. Praise you. You know, you don't have enough human-wise to say thank you to the Lord, because all of the things that he's allowed me to see that he spared me from, and things that he has by mercy and, you know, not let me see things that he spared me from. So I praise him for his goodness and for his mercy, and did just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Sister Lynn, from one who has retired, it'll take a while, because you'll feel like something's missing. You're not getting hurriedly dressed to rush off to work, or in that, somehow that kind of feels like it's missing from your life. But then, praise the Lord, all of that pressure is gone. And it'll be wonderful working in the garden.
Amen, dear sis. It's so true, because, I mean, you're right. I already felt weird when I closed out and deleted everything from my laptop in preparation of sending it back to the company. But realizing that from the year 2020, the end of February of 2020, up until September 29 of 2023, before that, I was worried about and wanting to be able to work from home, and the way the Lord just worked it out, you know, with the COVID situation and all of that, and ended up that I was working from home these past 3 years. Only God, you know. So truly, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So that even now, as I maybe worry about, you know, okay, what do I do to have supplemental income? Because, of course, income will be drastically reduced. But to know that before God, everything will, by his grace, be worked out. And I praise him, praise him, praise him. And, yeah, it does feel a little weird. Like I said, even today, as it was the last thing, and even my boss, he said, I'm not going to call you because it'll be too emotional. He's told me a few times, you will be missed, you know. And maybe it's because they'll miss my work. I don't know. But for whatever reason, only God knows the heart. If it was genuine, I kind of think it was. But God knows the heart. I don't. And so I just praise him, because from when I was about 3 years ago, I wanted to retire. But then, of course, with the achalasia and all of that, the Lord worked it out to continue to work, paying off, letting the insurance take care of those hospital bills, etc. But now to be able to reach to actually be retired, it is surreal. But again, not to take up the time, praise the Lord. And thank you so much again to all.
Praise the Lord indeed, dear sister. And for the grace and the strength to make it to retirement. I know there was several times that you were seriously considering quitting, but God gave extra grace, and what a high Sabbath this is for you. So praise God indeed.
Amen, Elder Robin. You know, interestingly enough, as we were going through the study that we've been doing, that praise the Lord for a beautiful job done, dear Brother James, I actually had in my notes October 7th that in my mind I said, huh, I bet you that's when we're going to have communion after the close of the Revelation study. And sure enough, but I indeed see it the same, Elder Rob, that today, and I, as I put on my notes, this is a high Sabbath for me, because it's a milestone for me, high Sabbath, in the point that the Lord has allowed it to be my retirement day as well. So praise his name.
Amen. Yeah, and foot washing and communion is October 6th, Friday evening. October 7 is the Sabbath, Saturday Sabbath. So it'd be Friday evening that our dear brother would be leading out. And I have a testimony and also a prayer request. When Sister Joan, when Mom went into the hospital last month, when she returned back home, there were several different agencies that the doctors arranged to come and visit her to make sure that she got on an exercise regime that would help her to be able to walk with less pain, that she had the proper oxygen that she needed, that she also had the proper medical care that she required to be able to recuperate at home. And she obtained all of this and is doing fantastic. But one of the workers that came through the course of talking with her was discovered that she was an Adventist. And so she was really quite a wonderful lady. Sister in Christ. She had prayer with Mom, and I think Michelle was here, and then Adele came a little bit later. And she just was really a great witness. So they ended up giving her the booklet on the True Church of God. And she thanked them and went home and I guess read it. I don't know how much she read or skimmed through, but anyway, the next time, or one of the other times that she came after receiving that book, she asked about the author. They explained that it's Michelle's husband. He's a pastor. And she goes, wow, do you think that he'd be willing to come and speak at our church group? And they said, well, I don't know. You'll have to ask him. He'll be here in a couple weeks, right? So she came over the other day. She asked if I would be willing to come and talk to their church group. And their particular church group is Adventist. They are trying to get to the point of being able to join the conference as a legitimate Adventist church. They haven't quite got there yet. So they don't have a regular pastor. They have an elder that leads out. But anyway, she goes, well, I'll talk to my elder and see if he'd be willing to allow you to speak. And I said, I'll definitely keep it in prayer. I greatly appreciate the invitation. I said, but you want me to speak the day before that we plan to move? And she goes, yeah, I know it's short notice, but we would really like you to come and speak. So I told her that we'd communicate today, Friday, and I'd give her my answer. And so I've been impressed to say yes. This is an opportunity that has never come up before. This is an open door, and I greatly appreciate your prayers in this, that the devil will not throw any kind of roadblocks or barriers to prevent me from speaking. So I expressed to her that I would be honored to speak at their church group, and she says, fantastic. So they're giving me about 30 to 45 minutes to present a particular topic. They want to have an introduction of who I am and some of my background, and so I need to word it just right that they are comfortable with me speaking without knowing all of the position that I stand for. So I want to be able to present a message that is going to lay the foundation for them to understand the loud cry. And I would greatly appreciate your prayers in this matter. What I've been impressed to speak on is Christ and his church. And of course, let them. Yeah, amen. God will definitely do so. So I'm developing a talk that will fit within a 30-minute time frame. And if I get a little bit longer, well, praise the Lord. Anyway, they have also invited us to stay with them after church, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions that are asked during that service. So it is coming up this next Sabbath, October 7th. The room here will be opened, so there's not going to be a problem. And thank you for your prayers in this. There's an opportunity. There's 7 days that the devil can have to try and shut it down. But I pray that we'll be able to go underneath the radar and be able to deliver the message to those precious souls there. So thank you so much, dear ones.
Yeah. Amen, Rob. I certainly know how that is, and for sure the enemy will probably try and be throwing darts. As this week he was given permission to throw several darts at me, but one thing is for sure, by prayer and fasting, some things go out. And as I was doing that this week with everything, the darts that the enemy was allowed to throw, I could see how the Lord buffered so that the darts that he threw, the Lord just kind of, like he would want to throw a punch at me to knock me out, but like that punch that was thrown was kind of like softened, like no, just a small swipe against my face. And I pray and know that God can do the same for you, because if the church has not become affiliated totally with the GC, the enemy will be angry that, you know, oh man, He's going to tell them, you know, what the truth is. And so by God's grace, we'll be keeping that in prayer, because even though he might have gotten permission, talking about the enemy, the Satan, the God is above him, and he will soften whatever darts that he's gotten permission to throw. And we'll be keeping that in prayer, because that's a blessing for sure. And just saying, you know, how close we are to God's coming, because he will make sure that all of us, every person, knows about his true church, you know, before he comes. So praise the Lord, dear Elder Rob, Sister Michelle, Sister Joan, and all of the family members there. We'll be keeping you all in prayer.
Thank you so much, and praise the Lord.
Then we have a lot to thank God for and trust him in for the very near future, even today or tonight, whatever time it may be. No limit for God's work or his working, regardless of circumstances. That is fantastic. Thank you for sharing, reminding me, sister, that your retirement was up. On 29th, I know you emailed me that as well. Thank you for bringing that out and sharing a little of what happened. So please feel free to share much more if you're up to it. There's no time limit. I actually, guess who got some paid work this week? Mr. Traffic Controller, Janie Boy. The boss said, James, you're here a second time in the row. Oh, we'll have to put you off for a month. And he laughed his head off because he said you wouldn't get anything from the other depot. And I said, no, don't do that. So I got 3 days in a row in the country, and it's beautiful. I can tell people now, where do you work, James? Heaven. Sorry, where? Because it's really beautiful, rolling hills. It's further away from the city from where I live, so that's even better. So it's been really good. And I got my first pay packet, $200. I was amazed. That was fantastic. So thank you for keeping that in prayer, and we'll see what happens from here on in. I did get to talk to one of my crew leaders, Mark, who's a Christian, and I gave him 2 tracts on hell and these laws restore health with the spiritual laws in it as well. And he took it, and he was happy to take it, and he's going to read it. He'd already started reading it while he's at work, and that was what I was hoping, because we don't do a whole lot traffic controlling at times, a lot of standing, so I'm trying to keep active with my legs. And even if you look a bit weird to the people rolling up, rocking up in the car. But he started, and I pray he doesn't stop. He asked a lot of questions, and that's great, because we get time to travel to the trip. It's like 40 minutes away. We're getting paid for it. So, you know, he talks, and I talk back. And I even sang yesterday, Look Unto Jesus. And he just listened. I knew he was the type that wouldn't say stop it. So I just kept singing it because the Sabbath was coming in. He knew I was a Sabbath observer. And so we will see what happens. He seems very genuine. His name's Mark, a crew leader. And also something wonderful happened at the Belmont Swap Meet. Other than literature going and people showing an interest and stopping to talk to us, I had to get shirts, long sleeve shirts, because they weren't supplying them from work. They'd only give you one. And I thought, that's a bit weird. Like, I'm going to sweat in them. It's getting hotter. It was a bit hot today. It was a bit like summer weather. And, yesterday, the week gone. And I found 2 that I could buy. It was quite cheap. And in the same time, I was given 26 free long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts, because the guy said, oh, this guy just came up and gave it to me. do you want it? Because you're large and they'll fit you. I said, are you sure? What, for nothing? He said, yeah, just take it. So that was that was so wonderful. I don't think I'll be shopping for that anytime soon. 26 of them. That was such a blessing. It made me feel more certain that I did the right thing in paying for something I shouldn't really have to pay for, because the company has it, but they're limited at the moment. You can pay for it, but they want you to wear their logo on that. But if you're not supplying more than one and you're working 3 days in a row and you sweat, well, they just say, you know what, go put it in the washing machine. Yeah, that's true. If it rains the next day, I guess just go wet, you know. No, they didn't make an issue. I got one that looked almost perfectly like it. So no one's told me off yet. Yet. Thank God. And the other thing I wanted to share with you, Mark asked me about, is a homosexual saved, James? You know, in the process of talking. I said, that's a good question. Because I was talking about what I used to do, literature evangelist, door knocking and that. And we went through that. I mean, how can we be saved? We talked about salvation. And that very interesting conversation traveling home. Strangely enough, well, it's not strange, but I actually had a dream last night. I have dreams like this. I'm sure you all do. You're talking to people about something they ask you. And I had a woman, she came up to me right to my face in the dream. And she said, are you telling me that I'm not saved now? I've just become a Christian, something like that. That's roughly how it went. And I said to her, justified instantly. And I'm looking at her, justified instantly, sanctified throughout life if we remain justified. And she just stood there. Like, I think she believed me. And then I think I woke up later on. But that was a little bit of the experience I have with Mark talking about salvation, that it's not in sin. And though as Christians, we do make mistakes, we do fall. But the question is, do we get back up? And who are we relying on? Are we doubting God's word, or are we trusting him? Do you think he wants to save you from your sins, or do you think he wants you to suffer eternal death? And so, been a real privilege. I hope the questions keep coming, and I happened to share with Mark future avenues in the future. He said, so what were you doing before this, and all sorts of things. And I said, well, I told him about bus driving that and told him how I lost my job. And he was interested about the vaccine. He didn't like it either, but he got it because he wanted to keep his job. And I was talking about the future, and I was talking these big, you know, like the things I was telling you, Lucy, last week that we wrote on paper. And he wasn't even laughing. He didn't think that was crazy. He didn't even go into it. He just goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I think he's listening, but it's just, you know, he's listening because I'm doing all the talking probably. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And as we're talking, I'm sharing the big ideas. He said, oh, so you really want a lot of money? And I said, yeah, Mark, I guess so. Yeah, God owns everything, including the hearts of men. There's many moneyed people. There's many people that long for something more than their money. I mean, sure, money helps, makes life easier in the temporal life, but it doesn't do anything for your spiritual if you are not rich toward God. And he didn't rebuke me or anything. I think he totally agrees. And he's a Christian, and so I told him about, you know, what has to be done. And I gave him the track. I said, that's one of the tracks that will explain what we're about. He said, so where do you go to church? I love when people say that. And I said, well, I home church in person with others, online, over the phone, and any other way that's possible that might come to be in existence in the future. I said, so what's the name? I said, Sabbath Remnant Alliance. It represents home churches around the world that believe in the whole everlasting gospel centered in Jesus Christ and the last message of mercy found in Revelation 14, 6 to 12 and chapter 18, 1 to 5. Can you tell I've said that a number of times? And he's listening, but he's probably not sure what that is. And I said, I'd love to give you something, you know, so you can always look at it and compare it with scripture, because he said he reads the Bible every day, which was amazing. I said, wow, there's not a lot of Christians I meet don't say that. And that's wonderful, Mark, that you said that. And he's married and his wife's a Christian. And, yeah, we're just talking like that. And he just seems so, so interested and, so many different things to look forward to. And I think the timing is everything. I think it's amazing how different things have fallen into place, and I'm so glad I'm that way, not that way toward the city, because where I am, it's so peaceful to work, you know, it's just so, How do you describe it? It doesn't even seem like work in many ways. I can only wish that I could exercise and do some track delivery or something. But we'll see what happens in the future. And thank you for keeping it in prayer. Now, I'm really thrilled for Sister Lynn and Brother Bob and the family with what may there be so much more. You know how we were just reading Steps to Christ, but think about what the future's going to be, and it'll be way beyond that. We can think like that now. Like, think about what has to be done to complete the work, not just doing it, but completing it, binding it off, that how we see so many issues and problems, God's got a way out and a solution for everything, that he'll do more than we ask or think.
Amen. Brother James, I just have to make a comment about how God has been leading in this encounter with this lady from the home health. When I called 911 to get to the hospital, I was expecting to go to the hospital I usually go to, which is Presbyterian Intercommunity. And we headed down the road in the ambulance, and the PIH, which is Presbyterian, wasn't accepting any more patients. They were full up. So we had to go to a different hospital. And they gave me a choice between an intercommunity hospital and St. Jude's. And I'd been to St. Jude's once before, which is a good hospital. So I said, well, take me to St. Jude's. And St. Jude's Hospital is the one that has sent out all of these home health workers. I never would have met these people if I had gone to Presbyterian. I only met them through St. Jude's. And praise the Lord, he was absolutely leading in this whole thing. Praise the Lord.
Amen, sis. As sister, what was the, excuse me, Sister Lynn, I'm quoting, is it Romans chapter 8? all things worked for good for those who love God, even for them who are called according to his purpose. That's fantastic to hear the different ways God led you to choose a particular route. And the help was found in different ways. What a blessing is left behind. You're going to have a very memorable last time. Well, not necessarily the last time, but I mean, before the move, you're going to have a very memorable, all of you, before the big move. Well, this song, which I tried to remember last week, and it left me, perhaps some of you know. I think Sister Lynn knows this one. It's related to Revelation, the book of Revelation, in a way, in many ways, perhaps. And if anyone knows it, feel free to take a verse. I think there's 2.5 verses. Yeah, that's right, 2.5 verses, not 3. Let us start. I think I need a drink of water. You know, you've got to say, I don't know if it's like this in America or Africa or elsewhere, whenever you say a drink, a water, like not alcohol, like Mark offered, you know, he mentioned alcohol and that, and I know he did it because he knows that I don't drink without me even saying, because he suspected it. But I said, I drink real strong stuff with sink ships. Okay, let's have a song. The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. God is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to forever. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Interestingly enough, the chorus sounds familiar, dear brother, but I don't remember the verse, so I will attempt it. See all around, all the nations bow down to see. The only sound is the praises to Christ the King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Amen. See over there, there's a mansion that's prepared just for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. And there will be no more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. Amen. Amen. Well, are there any last thoughts, any thing anyone would like to share before we close with prayer and then ask Brother Dick to sing us away?
I am so happy that God has prepared us a way to meet on His holy day. It's been wonderful to be with you tonight, Sabbath, And thank you so much. My spirit has risen. Thank you and praise the Lord.
Amen. That's a, amen, sis. Likewise, mutual. Yes, and a quote in the room, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Yeah, that's a common, statement to share with a Catholic as well as everyone else on the planet. Luke 1:47. My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. Mary recognized the need for a Savior, and so when we do, we are blessed with the needs we have. Not the wants, the needs. God knows best. Well, let's have a word of prayer and go from there. Father in heaven, it's been a real privilege, again upon privilege, to meet with brothers and sisters online and the various other ways that we have available to us. And not only with one another, but with total strangers, total people we've never met in our life, people who are Christians, people who don't know they're in Babylon. People that don't know about mystical Babylon and the warnings and the reproofs and instruction and the blessings that come with obeying the thus saith the Lord to realize the escape route and experience the relief of not anyone having control of us, but God as God intended. And we can trust you. You can be trusted. And we want to help people realize this. And with the help of thy spirit, get rid of the prejudice and absolute falsehoods that have been said about your character, about the plan of redemption, the maligning that's going on, that should really be a proof to others that there's an enemy of God, but it's rather given as a reason why they can't serve the God that the devil is giving to the world to receive. Thank you that we do know the truth. We don't deny it. We know it comes with responsibility, but we don't claim any worthiness on our own part, and we believe that Jesus picks us up and can sustain us in being Christians and hence being lights in this dark world and lighting the path for others to travel. We thank you for the opportunity to go through the book of Revelation and complete it today and have foot washing and communion soon. May we each be in a prepared state to partake of that, and that I'm so glad for the testimonies we've heard tonight as well, and the opportunity to hear from others, because we need these precious times. We don't have persecution like the Dark Ages. And we don't want it. We don't ask for it unnecessarily, but we do want the truth to be proclaimed plainly, clearly, for all to see and know and understand. It's for them as well. And have the same spirit that moved Paul to say, except for these bonds, I would that all men were like us. Well, we're not in bonds, but we might be in the future. But it would be a real privilege, and there are restrictions placed on us in this world because of choices we've made to serve you that are according to your word. And we count it a real privilege, whatever form of persecution we might be called upon to take. Thank you for giving grace to Sister Lynn to complete a almost 11-year tenure at an employment place where she could work from home, take care of her dear mum, Sister Dot, and have the blessing to be able to reach 2023 and saying that retirement has come. May she be blessed like you bless Sister Joan and other sisters and brothers who are retired to go that path that you've ordained for them, one step at a time. We know that there are difficulties ahead for all. We can imagine them. We claim the promise, Jesus, to take your advice that don't borrow trouble from tomorrow, for the tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient is the day is the evil thereof. That you've only promised grace today, not because you're weak, but because we don't live in tomorrow. We only live now and today. And we're looking forward to seeing how you will work when we let you work more in helping us take the steps. It's not 10,000 steps at a time. It's one step at a time. And it's with your grace we want to do it, not alone, not seeking to save ourselves, but letting you have your way with us. And we are thrilled at the thought of the things that are preparing for next week. Indeed, may the 7 days that intervene, or the 8 days leading up to what will be a precedent set, as it were, in many ways, over there in California, may the hearts and minds of all of them stay genuine, who are interested in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as the statement in the court of law in America goes, that their love for the truth will be stronger than kindred and ties, that the words of you, Christ, will come to their minds and hearts to know that for the truth's sake, Christians of all ages have had to give up husbands, wives, parents, children, all sorts of things, including houses and lands and properties, etc., for your namesake. But they were happy because their conscience could not be trodden down on and gone against. They did not have to live with the guilt of knowing what's right and going against it. Thank you for empowering them, that we hear of their stories to this day, like such books like The Great Controversy, and the opportunity for us to complete the work that you would have done. Thank you that we're near the end, and may that make us ever more determined to complete the work, to do all that we can in our power. And thank you that instead of doubting, instead of questioning your will in the sense of plainly revealed duty, we do not have to ever doubt it. That this is what grace is all about, and it's amazing. It truly is. And it's not weak, it's not tiny, it's not feeble. It is proportionate to the one who's giving it. Thank you for providing for our needs. May our brothers and sisters be blessed to have another blessed Sabbath, even a high Sabbath, for Sister Lynn and all of our brothers and sisters, because it's a taste of heaven to come aside and behold, to have the memorial of creation and redemption, to share this with others on Sabbath, outside of Sabbath, to let them know it's not just we're looking to be lazy. Now, it's got nothing to do with that, in fact, because it's the only commandment says that you should work 6 days and rest the seventh in memorial of creation and redemption, which is our privilege to acknowledge. And instead of fearing man, to rather reverence God who created man and who has redemption plan for man, that clearly all signs everywhere, anyone who's honest with themselves would agree we need saving. Not only as a world, but as individuals that make up the world. Thank you for the wonderful plan, and we're grateful for what you have set up for us in the future. Help us take on the convictions you send through your spirit and follow through, trusting you all the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Good to hear you, Brother Joel. Well, thank you so much for the privilege. Been a blessing to be with you once again. Looking forward to next week, Lord willing. We'll all be there again. And may your Sabbath and the next week ahead be better than the last and only become more of a character-building nature for the future and eternal life ever after to the faithful. Till we meet again, and then when we meet again, keep looking up.
There. No, it's this one. Here. Camera won't stay on.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. Oh, do not doubt, but keep on looking up.